the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of you.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkel.
And I'm Brian Merkel.
We're really glad that you're here. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us that email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit that contact section, and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us, and we do have an updated gear section. Everybody can go to the store section right now on the website. Just go to hammerlanelegends.com, hit the gear section, and right there you're going to see a bunch of beautiful designs on t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, thermoses, stickers, all the cool stuff that the kids like these days is in the store. Dad, you've seen it. What do you think?
I think all the cool kids are going to be doing it. It's actually really cool. Lindsay did a fantastic job on it.
Yeah, wow. Buddy. Yeah, she did a great job. So
yes, she did.
I told everybody a few weeks ago that she told me I suck at designing t-shirts. She's right. And she did a much better job. She went and scoured the internet for cool designs. We bought the designs, and then we put them on a t-shirt, and you guys can now enjoy them on t-shirts and all that cool stuff. Trust me, just take the time, 5 minutes, hammerlanelegends.com/gear, or just hit the gear tab. Trust me, it's not a waste of time. You're going to love the designs in there, and I think it's awesome.
I do, too. I'm with you 100%. Like I said, it was really cool to see all the things that she did.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, Dad, we got a voicemail line. We gotta freaking do a voicemail show soon. They keep piling up. We see you guys in there. We see you.
We're not ignoring you.
No.
We know it's there.
It's just been short on time recently. Yeah. And
it's like all of a sudden we're short on time.
We're short on time because nobody's canceling interviews on us anymore, which is a good problem to have.
It really is.
Yeah. So what's the voicemail line?
Yeah, the voicemail line is 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375. Give us a call. Leave a message. And if it's longer than 15 minutes, shoot us an email and come on the show and talk with us live.
Yeah, like 0558. You know who I'm talking to. If you're listening to this right now and your last four digits, your phone number is 0558. Don't you ever call the voicemail line again. I haven't even listened to the voicemail. All I see is that you left two voicemails that were 15 minutes long. Bro or lady, that could be a whole show right there. What are you doing to me? Email the show, dog.
Just come on. Come on and talk with us. We'd love to have a conversation with you. We're not interviewing you. We're talking with you. It's a conversation.
It's a conversation. All right. Listen up, friends. We got a website called preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. That's where you can get yourself emergency supplies that will last up to 25 years on the shelf as far as food goes. But you'll get a lot of survival gear and stuff on that website as well. And trust me, you might want to think about doing that because everything that I'm reading right now is that our military is gearing up to go to war with China. China's warning their citizens to prepare for nuclear war. And let me tell you something.
The world is falling apart.
The world's falling apart. We knew that for a while. But where's most of our products come from?
Yeah, exactly.
So if we're in a war with that country, we might be short on supplies. You know, we outsource. I forget what it was. I knew this last year. We outsource the meat packing of something in this country. Like literally have I think it's pork or something. I forget what it's not pork, though. I forget what it is. But we literally I think it might be. I really don't remember. Man. The point is, we literally have it here. We ship it to China to get packaged, and then we bring it back.
Right.
Well, what do you think's going to happen when we're at odds with that country, and then if they're like, sure, we'll take it, but we're not going to send it back and you're going to starve. So go to preparewithhll.com and get yourself the emergency supply food so that if we are in a shortage, which, listen, there's a lot of people talking about shortages coming. We are in shortages right now in a lot of different areas and stuff. You probably see it a lot on your local news. Trust me, preparewithhll.com. Get your emergency supplies today. Now, Dad, who are we talking to today?
Today, we're talking to Kim. She's a female driver, apparently. And she has, you know, she was in the business, she was out of the business, she was back in the business industry, you know, doing what we do. And a really fun conversation. We had a good time talking with her. I think you are all going to enjoy listening to her out there.
All right. Today we got Kim on the show. Kim, how are you?
I'm doing good. Great to be here.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Dad, say hi.
I love it.
Kim, it's awesome to have you on the show. Thanks for coming in and talking with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we got a chance to chit chat here before we went live here. And Kim, it was awesome talking with you and hanging out with you. But let's get into the business because you have been driving for a while. In fact, you even told us beforehand that you're a couple of years away from retiring now, which is really cool to just, you know, the idea of somebody making it through the trucking industry to the verge of retirement and stuff.
Yeah.
But let's take it back to the beginning here. You got your CDL back in, I think, 1995 in Georgia. Is that right?
95, yes. I had been a travel agent for 23 years. And I had always wanted to learn how to drive a truck. I don't know that I actually wanted to be a truck driver, but I really wanted to learn how to drive. And I found myself unemployed when the travel industry folded that I was working for. So I was on unemployment, and I went through truck driving school at a local college. It's a vocational school, and the Georgia Lottery paid for it. When the lottery was voted into the state of Georgia, one of the things they promised was that they would pay money towards people's vocation schooling. And truck driving was one of them. So I utilized that. They paid for my truck driving career. I think it was about $2,000 at the time. And I went Monday through Friday for 11 weeks. All the while drawing unemployment. So life was good. And when I graduated, just because you went to a truck driving school for 11 weeks, that doesn't make you a truck driver. You really have to put in some seat time.
Yep. That's true.
And learn. And unfortunately, I left with a boyfriend shortly after. And it was just easier for me not to apply myself because there was always somebody there to pick up the pieces. So when trying to back became an issue, and it became an issue really quick. I don't want to do this. And he would finish up the job. And, you know, I did myself a huge disservice by not learning what I needed to learn in order to make it on my own, because even though that relationship didn't work out, now I don't know how to drive a truck, or at least not well enough to consider myself for going out and getting a job,
right?
Because I didn't apply myself and keep my butt in the seat. So I think what I would really like to impart, especially on the ladies, you know, really apply yourself. If you're serious about this business and you get the opportunity to drive, really apply yourself. And, you know, the same thing happens in the RV world. You know, these little old men and ladies, they'll buy an RV and they'll, you know, go cross country. The little old lady never drives. Mm-hmm. She doesn't learn. And then all of a sudden, the little old man dies. And there she sits. She can't even get the rig back home. Somebody has to either, one, come and get it, or they sell it where it sits. So the same thing sort of applies there. And I really just, you know, want to let the women know, really apply yourself. Don't assume that whoever you're with is gonna always be there for you to back the truck up.
Mm-hmm.
One instance with my company, the company that I was with my husband, they more or less grounded him. And there I sit. Well, Marcia can deliver it. Well, sure I can. I guess I can. And I did. I didn't feel good about it. You know, I would have felt much better about it if I had enough confidence. And I think that's what seat time gets you. It gets you the confidence that you can do things. And it took me a long time to get that confidence. Because once I got out of the business with my boyfriend, and I did, he lost his license. And that's another thing. Tell these women, you leave with somebody, you know, your boyfriend or whatever, and you think, oh yeah, I can team up with this guy. You need to know all there is to know about this guy, because the guy I left with, he was on the verge of losing his license.
Wow.
And he did. He did lose his license.
Mm-hmm.
And what he ended up doing was he had gotten a letter from the state of Michigan wanting to go over his license. He had too many points. Of course, I didn't know any of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm riding around the country with my boyfriend and not knowing that he's got all these tickets. And so he changed his license to Georgia because I had a home there.
Okay.
So he could get a Georgia license. Well, he took his Georgia license back to Michigan and went to that meeting. And he's like, well, I've moved to Georgia. Well, that pissed them off.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, okay, you've got a Georgia driver's license, but you've lost your Michigan driving privileges.
Wow.
And the company we worked for was domiciled in Michigan.
That makes it very difficult.
So there we are. We're unemployed. And at that point, I just went back into the travel agency business. And it took me another 5 to 7 years to get back into the trucking industry full time. But what I did do while I was working for a travel agency, I signed on with a company that was like a driver service, rent a driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I would let this guy put me with a company on the weekend and drive somewhere. Didn't know what I was doing, but I did it. And one of the companies that I drove for, the minute I pulled out of their lot, I knew I was in trouble, because this truck wasn't driving like anything I'd ever driven before.
Hmm.
I had been on a 10 speed and this thing just didn't work that way. And I'm making phone calls and calling people. It's like, what's wrong with this truck? Well, as it turned out, it was a Super 10. And I had no idea what a Super 10 was or how it operated. But I had to go from Atlanta to Nashville over a mountain in a truck that I don't even know how to drive.
Yikes.
And it was like, okay, it'll either do 30 or 60. You know, there was no in between. And it was eye-opening. And when I got back to the yard, somebody says, oh, you drove that Super 10. Nobody likes that. Yeah, what's a Super 10? And no, I don't like it either. But but anywho,
well,
that was one of my funny stories.
Well, Kim, tell me what, I don't know what a Super 10 is. And so I would like for you to tell me, because that's all new to me.
You know, I'm a 10-speed gal. I don't know about all those other speeds. But you've got on a 10 speed, you got 5 holes, pull the button up, you got 5 more.
Right.
Okay. It's my understanding with a Super 10, when you put it in first, you pull the button up and it goes to second.
Okay.
Then you pull the stick back to third, pull the button up and it goes to fourth.
Wow. So you're moving it up and down each time.
You really got to pay attention.
Wow, you certainly.
And do. I was just driving it like a 10 speed.
It just wasn't working.
Wow, yeah.
Now it makes sense why she could only go 30 or 60.
It does. Well, I didn't know that.
I've never driven.
No, I've never. So that's different. That's really different.
Yeah, I had no idea. No idea. So one of the things I would ask, you know, what kind of truck am I driving? And if somebody said it's an 18 speed, I'd say, well, leave me out. I don't know what an 18 speed is or how to drive it.
Right.
I'd have to start making phone calls.
Yep. Start watching YouTube videos.
I was gonna say, bring it up on YouTube, start watching. All right, I got to leave here in 5 minutes. What can I learn?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's crazy. Yeah, I know what you mean. That is just wow.
Yeah.
I know. That's, you know, this job is stressful enough. Yeah. You know, who needs that? You know what I mean? It's like,
exactly. And who knew with me just wanting to keep my CDL so that I could say, oh, yes, I can drive. Yeah, right. Okay. So I go and drive a Super 10 and it's like, no, not so much. But I just wanted to keep my CDL valid and be able to say, yes, I've driven.
Right. And that's awesome.
Period.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, you get a lot of people get out of the business, they get in the business, get out of it, and they let their CDL lapse. You know, they're like, oh, I'm not going to drive again. And then, you know, 5 years down the road or whatever, you know, just like, you know, like it was for you, Kim, you know, you wind up, hey, you know, I need to get, you know, because this is the kind of job that, you know, they're always looking for people.
Yeah. Like right now.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's crazy right now. It's crazy. And there's just so few people wanting to get into it. So they're, you know, keeping your CDL makes sense.
Yeah. I had a friend in college who, him and I drove school buses together while we were in college. And he, before coming to college, had a CDL class A and all that stuff. And he let it go because I think he went into rehab. And then when he left rehab, he came to college, all that stuff. But years later, he was a pastor of a church. And, you know, I think it was a church plant that he planted. And so he's not making any money. So he needed to get, you know, a full-time job doing something else. So he went back into trucking. But because he didn't have a CDL, he had to go back through school again, even though he knew
how
to drive it. Yeah.
Yes,
it
is.
So, I mean, it's literally he had to pay thousands of dollars just to get the CDL back because, you know, and so it's one of those things where if you got it and you're out of the industry, just try to hold on to it if you can.
Right.
I mean, because from what I understand, you don't need to keep up on the medical card. There's certain paperwork you can fill out where you can let the medical card go and keep your CDL and just renew it whenever it's expiring. And then if you get back in the industry, most companies make you get a drug test anyway. So even if
a physical, you go and get a physical every time you start a new job.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if you're just starting, if you have a CDL and you have your medical card, but you're going to a different company, even if you just got that medical card a week ago, they're still going to make you go take a drug test and the whole medical card thing again. So, I mean, just the CDL is just a few extra bucks and you keep it kind of thing for the long term.
Yeah.
I think one of the things I'd really like to impart on anybody getting into this business, you know, somebody that doesn't have a CDL and they want to drive a truck, before you look into a truck driving school that's going to cost thousands, or sign on with a company, I don't want to drop names, but
do it
like Swift. Sure. Like Swift. I've never driven for them, but let me say, I'll talk about Swift in just a moment. But before you sign on with a company to go through their truck driving school and be indebted to them or a bank for your education, look into other options.
Yep.
And one option might be the local vocational schools, like I did here in Georgia. Mm-hmm. It cost me nothing.
That's
nothing.
Yeah.
My boyfriend wanted me to go through the truck driving school that his company was at. And I'm like, no way. No way am I going to be indebted or in debt to go to truck driving school. So before you start paying money or signing on the dotted line, do your due diligence and look into vocational schools in your area. See if there's any grants that will help you pay for the schooling before you literally are held prisoner working for a company you can't stand. Because if you leave that company, you still owe them money.
You owe them now. Yep.
And I didn't know if I would stay in the business. You know, when I didn't know that I was going to, the longevity for me, it might just be a month, and I didn't want to owe anybody any money. So I think that's what I really want folks to know. Before you go to a trucking company and sign on their dotted line, just do your homework and see if there's other options.
Yeah. That's good information, because I didn't even know that was an option until we were talking to you here. I never even heard of the Georgia lottery and things like that.
It's an option in Georgia. Is it an option everywhere? I don't know, but it's certainly worth looking into. Yeah.
What I would say, and to feed off of what you're saying, I totally agree with that, is like here in PA, if you're on unemployment, they will help you get, you can go to like El Tri-C, a community college, or or whatever it is in Berks County. I forget what the community college, and they'll help you pay for it.
That's good.
Because you're on unemployment, you get extra grants and things like that, where you can almost go for nothing.
That's cool.
So it's important. Exactly. Yeah. And so I think that's really great advice, Kim. I really do. I think it's fantastic that, you're putting it out there for people to, if you're looking to do something like this, which unfortunately seems like the industry is just, people aren't looking for it. But, if you are, it's good advice. It really is.
Let me tell you one of my pet peeves after having said all that. I was in truck driving school with folk that had no intentions of driving a truck.
How's that work?
Let me say that again.
Right.
They went through truck driving school, and they had no intentions of driving a truck. They just wanted their CDL. They just wanted to learn how to drive a truck. And I'm thinking, you're an idiot.
Yes.
Why would you take space up in a class when somebody behind you might actually need a job?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep,
and totally so it's a waste. It was an absolute waste. I know people that went through truck driving school that never drove a truck, and I didn't like it. And I know there was people in the, I bet you I'm the only one in my class that still drives a truck. And that takes me someplace else. When I originally went through that class back in 95, okay, fine. I didn't apply myself. Okay. We've already discussed that. I did not apply myself. I didn't have the confidence I needed. I got back into the travel industry. I went back through the very same truck driving school in 2002. Mm-hmm. The lottery paid for it a second time.
Right.
And I learned how to drive this time.
Right.
I had to. Because now the travel industry has changed so much. Agencies are going away, and I really need a vocation that's going to pay me, and I really applied myself. When I went through that second truck driving school, the very same school, they were like, well, this girl can drive. They wouldn't keep me behind the wheel. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I need a job.
Right.
I need to know how to back, and I need to be able to make left turns and right turns. This is what I need. They're like, oh, she can walk the dog. I don't even know what walking the dog means. It meant that I could change gears, and I was really good at that.
Right.
But I could not turn left or right comfortably and back up. So I had to fight to stay in the seat. And I'm the only person in that class that is probably still driving today.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty sad.
Yes.
And one of the reasons why I wouldn't want a CDL, you're held at a higher standard. Every ticket that you get, up to and including a breathalyzer, the numbers are different for people with CDL.
Yes.
They'll take, you pay more money. You can't blow I think it's 0.04 for a truck driver. I mean, it's ludicrous. Why would you want one if you're not using it?
Yep, exactly. Because that's now on your license. That's now your license.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even when you're driving in your car, it's the same thing. You are held to a higher standard.
And that's the thing that I had to get through my head too. Because when I first started driving at Pitt, I drank a lot. Mm-hmm. And I would come home and I would drink at least 6 beers a night.
Wow.
And yeah, I was drinking a lot every night. And when I would be out, I would drink a few beers and be like, oh, I'm fine and stuff, this, that, and the other. And yeah, I feel fine, but it doesn't mean I'm going to blow fine.
Exactly.
And
right.
And I had to get that through my head. And then I realized that I might have an issue with drinking. And so fortunately for me, it wasn't that bad where I finished the beer in my fridge and I stopped buying beer. And it wasn't like I was like, oh, I need beer. And then I just decided that I wasn't going to stock my fridge anymore. Mm-hmm. I'll have a beer if I'm out or something. But I realized that I don't have the gear to pump the brakes on it. It's all I drank when I got home. Mm-hmm. I would drink water during the day. When I got home, I drank beer until I probably went to bed holding a beer in my hand.
But you know, I'll tell you what, this is one of those things that, you know, it was really weird when years ago, we used to lay out.
Mm-hmm.
We'd drive to Cincinnati or Cleveland or Columbus, whatever, where we were going, and then we'd go to a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And there were guys who would go to the hotel and they would stop at the bar on their way into their room.
Oh, the hotel bar.
Yeah, or they'd stop at a liquor store or a beer distributor or whatever. And I just think to myself, how do you do that every day?
How do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. And
with fire.
Yeah, you really are. And in this industry, it's just something that's just so dangerous. I just for me, it's just that it's one of the things that I struggle with when I know other people who are drivers who do, and I don't care what people do. It's not my business to, invade anybody else's space. I just, people that I know and love who do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how do you do this every night after you come home from work and then you go to bed at midnight and you've drunk enough hard stuff that you fall asleep on the sofa at midnight and then you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, dude, you're playing a dangerous game.
Yeah.
You are playing a very dangerous game.
You're telling me.
And I don't mean you specifically.
No,
it is one of those things that it's people that I know and love.
No,
it's like, wow, that's not smart. It's not in this industry. Not once you get this license.
I got to.
And it's something that follows you.
Yes, it is.
It doesn't go away. Yeah.
Yes.
It does not go away.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, one of the things that you said, Kim, that I really thought is so smart. It's so wise. It's what you learn in doing what we do is stay in the seat and get the experience.
Yeah.
Experience, experience, experience. That is what this job entails. That is what you need in this job. Because the more you do, the more you understand you can do, and the more confidence it builds in you.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Right.
People are not confident because they're not staying in the seat.
They're not experiencing.
They're not experiencing
this
job.
And I understand where Kim's coming from with that in a sense, because when I... all the other places I've driven for before Pitt, it was team driving where I would have somebody in the truck with me that had a CDL and I knew that, like, all right, if something happens, I got an extra set of eyes, all that stuff. And I remember when I was talking to you about driving for Pitt, I remember asking you on the phone, do you have somebody in the truck with you when you're driving? You're like, no. And I was nervous about that because I'd never had that before. I remember getting... when I got hired at Pitt and they sent me out with a trainer for like a day or two and that was it. And then when I was on my own, it was my first time, mm-hmm. like outside of bus driving, which wasn't, it was bus driving. You know, there's kids.
You have 50 kids on the bus with eyes. You got an extra 100 pair of eyes looking around.
It was different and I had to get used to it. And I was nervous, especially like especially as a new guy at Pitt, mm-hmm. and stuff, you're in a straight truck, which is smaller than a bus, but you're going down to Center City. You're going mm-hmm. into South Philly with, the tight roads and the neighborhoods, and you're expected to do these deliveries. And I was like, I was stressed, mm-hmm. but it's the experience because, after doing that just a little bit, you get used to it and you're just like, and then you get to the point where you're like, why would I ever want somebody in the truck with me? I don't want to ride with anybody else.
That's one of the things in my experience and what I've been doing, I've never had anybody else in the truck with me. I never drove a team. I never drove with it. I never had anybody who was along to help me ever. So it's just like, and I don't mean, that's just the way, cause I've always been more of like a local driver. Mm-hmm. When I did bulk tankers, I've done, suck trucks. I've done, whatever. I mean, a lot of dry van, LTL stuff. Most of it's been that. It's just, experience. You have to experience this job. You have to experience it. And so that's why I went down that road with you, Kim, because I think it's so important for people to understand. Once you get your CDL, stay in the seat, drive. Don't
you
be
got
afraid
to.
Of it. You have
you
to.
Absolutely have to. And I can tell you that when I went through that truck driving school the second time in 2002. I signed on with a local company here in Atlanta, and I rode team with a girl that I knew once a month, and we would turn Oregon and Washington. And we were great together. I was a smoker, she wasn't, but we made it work. I really learned a lot from her. But even when I wasn't with her the rest of the month, I sweated everything. You know, you sweat everything mm-hmm. for a good do. Little while.
Yes, you do.
You know, yeah. every move you make, mm-hmm. everything you're about to do, you're sweating it. It takes a long time to really get a confidence.
Yes.
But it just worked for me. And I think one of the reasons why it worked for me, one, running team, because she did teach me things.
Sure. That's great.
And I signed on with a company that brought me in and out of Atlanta, my home. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to sign on with Swift and hit the road and be gone 3 to 6 weeks at a time.
Exactly.
And come home for 3 days.
Sure.
I knew that life wasn't for me. But I said earlier that I wanted to talk about Swift a moment. Mm-hmm. Swift gets a bad rap. They really do. And the one thing I want to say about Swift or any other company like Swift, there's a lot of good people
there
and
is.
A lot of great drivers mm-hmm. that drive for Swift.
Sure.
And companies like them. And I just want to recognize that they get a bad rap. They really do. A lot of those type companies do, but that's okay.
Right.
You know, we laugh at them. I laugh too. But the truth of the matter is there's a lot of people there that have probably never had accidents. They've got millions of miles and you're like, why are you still driving for Swift? Yeah.
Right. And that's what I was saying. I think on last week's show or something. I was talking about that because I was thinking there's got to be somebody that works at Swift that has been there for a long time. I mean, it can't be just all rookie drivers.
Yeah.
And the offer still stands. I would love to have a Swift driver on the show just to hear their perspective as mm-hmm. to, you know, their experience in the trucking industry, working for Swift, being a laughing stock, and you know, how do they handle it, and right. why do they think that Swift has gotten such a bad rap and things like that?
But you know, I would, in that vein, I would probably say one of the things is that because they have the reputation they have, good drivers stay till they get their experience and move on.
Yeah,
and so all they ever have are, you know, the ones that have the longevity there, and I'm sure there are some really good guys and women who are there. And who have spent time with them, and so I agree with you, Kim. It becomes, they become a meme. That's all
they are.
Become.
A meme, yeah, for you know sure. I mean?
That's what happens.
There's whole like pages on Instagram dedicated to Swift.
I know, and it's a shame because you know, in this industry, above you know more than I think any. I mean, I imagine it's this way, you know, with the masons and construction worker guys, but and women. But when I look at this, it's like this is like a family. This is like a brotherhood and a sisterhood.
Yeah.
You know, what we do, because when you're out there on the road, you're out there alone and you've got mm-hmm. other people on the road looking out for you and you're looking out for them. And it has to be that way. Because there's people out there who are going to do anything they can to take you for a ride. There's going to be people out there going to do anything they can to induce an accident, to pretend an accident. I mean, I've seen videos yeah. on YouTube. I've sat and spent time looking at this stuff, and this stuff happens mm-hmm. for real.
It's happened to me.
And so you have and that's the good thing is that you have people out there who can't. My point is you can't diminish. That's why I agree with you, Kim. You should never diminish a whole group of people because of who they work for, this or that. It's just it becomes an easy catch-all.
I remember when I was first driving for Pitt, I was in North Philadelphia, and residential but not really residential, all kind of blends together, just not a good area. And this one guy literally like walked up alongside of my truck. And as the light turned green, I started moving. Then he skirted in front of my truck and I slammed on my brakes because I can barely see him walking in front of the truck. And I didn't hit him or anything, but I went back to the terminal. I told the guys about it. And I said, it was like he was trying to get hit. And they're like, no, he really was. Like, he was trying to get hit. He was trying to get the money. Yep. And I was like, Deep pockets. Crap. Yep. Like, I never even thought about that. But there's people that actually try to get hit by trucks.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Do you guys have cameras in your trucks that look out?
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we do too. Yeah. And I can tell you that I have had a camera, my own personal camera, mm-hmm. up in the window for at least, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. And right when cameras first started coming out, I mean, it's been like back in 2011, I think I got my first camera. And it was at a time when our company, the company I work for now, they were like, oh, no, you can't have a camera in the window. And their company lawyers were like, no, we can't have cameras up in the windows. Well, they changed their minds, you know, years later.
Yes.
When they put their own camera in the window.
Yep.
And that's something else I want to impart on somebody. I can just speak from experience here at the company I drive for now. Just because there's a camera up in the window looking out, don't expect them, the company, to share the video with you in the event you need it to prove something else.
Right.
Let's just say you run a stop sign and the camera proves that you didn't. They're not going to share that with you. Had it happen here. So wow. I would imagine it's that way everywhere. They're going to use it for what they need it for and not what you need it for.
Yeah.
And I run my own camera mm-hmm. all the time. I've got one in every vehicle, my two personal vehicles and the big truck. I run my own camera because I've heard stories. They're not going to share the information with you to help you beat a ticket or whatever.
Yeah. And, so, and that's one thing that I've seen throughout the industry as well, is that, and that's why I tell drivers, the newer drivers and stuff that come through, I say, you know, you got to make sure you protect your license. Always.
Exactly.
You worry about yourself. Don't worry about anything but yourself. So when the company is trying to hustle you and make you push and, mm-hmm. and push the bounds on, you know, maybe your time or the speed that you're going, all that stuff, you protect your license at all costs, because at the end of the day, you're just a number, and they will fire you and they will move on and they'll let you go if you lose your license, all that stuff. And like, there's good companies out there, but there are companies out there that do not have their driver's backs, and they just look at the driver as a horse. And, you know, when the horse expires, you just get another one. They don't really care about you. And there's a lot of guys out there that will bend over backwards for the company and do things they shouldn't be doing with their license because, right. Well, it's my job. No, it's your job is to drive the truck safely.
Yep. Yep.
Like you right. gotta look at it as almost like the company you're working for is almost like leasing your license. Mm-hmm. It's your license and you're allowing them to use it.
Right.
You don't let them put that at stake. Because at the end of the day, it's your livelihood.
Yep.
And the guys who make it long-term in this industry, I think, are the ones who get that. They really yep. do. Because I was just talking to a driver the other day, and he said when he first started in the trucking industry stuff, he was go, 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 hustle, hustle, hustle. Mm-hmm. And he learned that he had to slow it down and do it at his own pace, because at the end of the day, it's his livelihood at the end of the day.
Ultimately, it really is that old saying, safety first.
Yeah.
Because...
And a lot of companies don't really give a hoot about all that.
Exactly.
And you got to understand too, like, I mean, everybody has a job in the trucking industry. Mm-hmm. So the dispatcher, their job is to get all the freight delivered and picked up.
Yep.
before they go home. So they're throwing tons of stuff at you.
Or at least scheduled to be
picked up. They know it, you know, I know this is going to cut it close and stuff, but we're going to throw it out there and try. And if they throw it to one of the guys who they know it's going to stretch it thin, but they throw it to a guy who's going to, you know, put his license on the line to try to get it done.
Right.
Like at the end of the day, if he doesn't get it done because something bad happens, he's out of a job. That dispatcher still has a job.
And he may be out of a license.
Right. But the thing is, like that dispatcher was just doing his job, right. You know, and same thing with you know, people on the dock.
But the problem with that is that, and I agree with you to a point, but one of the things that we have to think is that this is when you work for the same company, you're supposed to be a team. You're supposed to be working for the same ends. Yeah. And so when you're asking a driver to do something that is going to put him at danger because you're him or her, you're asking them to, you know, you need to get here by such and such a time. Well, I can't make it. Well, you need to be there. You're putting pressure on somebody who they can't, they, you don't know what he's going to face or she's going to face on their way to that customer for that pickup. And it's like, now you're, so you don't care about what happens to him as long as you cover your butt.
Yeah.
And that's in this, in my mind, it should never be that way.
This
is an industry where we're supposed to work together for the very same ends. You know, it's like, it's not like the means justify the ends. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I've heard of dispatchers like that.
My dispatchers
weren't like that.
No, I've never experienced that here.
I've had situations where, you know, I didn't get to a place on time and the next day I go in and stuff and they just ask, you know, hey, why don't you? And I said, I ran out of time. Okay.
That's it.
And that's it. Yeah. That's it. I've only ever had like a couple situations where I've got into it with my dispatcher. And, you know, like that, for instance, the one time we had a hot shipment, it had to be there by a certain time and I'm ready to leave the yard and they come out and tell me to switch tractors with another person for whatever reason. I don't remember. And it made me run behind and I was late. And so I got there late and, you know, we missed our time, cost the company, I think it was like $500, whatever, plus the cost of whatever, cost the company a lot of money. And so he started ripping into me and I told him, I was like, bro, like I would have been there on time if I could have just left. And he's like, well, you should have just told me this, that, and the other. So it was like one of those things where I probably should have spoke up and said something, but I was just in the mood where it's like, okay, you tell me to do something, I do it. Yes, sir. How high, you know, I was just like, whatever, you know, I was just like, all right, whatever, you know, but, most of the time, I haven't had a bad experience with my dispatch. But let's, Kim, I want to talk to you about. Let's just talk about I-80. You got a few stories from I-80, why don't you just let's just kind of go into some of these stories. Let's talk about the first one, I guess, where the cab over came out of the fast lane.
Yes, I mean, this is my first month driving with my boyfriend. I'm on I-80 somewhere in Nebraska. I'm in the fast lane. And I see a cab over that's going east. He's driving in the grass. He's in the median. And all around this rig, he's kicking up dirt. And all you can actually see is the windshield and his bumper. You can't tell what he's pulling because all you can see is dirt. And it was like right out of a movie scene. And I start hollering, what do I do? What do I do? Because, you know, I haven't even been driving a month yet. And my boyfriend's like, get on the shoulder, get on the shoulder. And somehow I go from the left lane to the right lane and onto the right shoulder. This guy brings his rig up on the westbound side, albeit going east. And he kept that rig up. And he hit that shoulder on the westbound side and kept it moving. I'm just like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. I mean, this is my first month in the trucking industry. And I'm really freaked out at what I'm seeing here. The next thing that happens, I keep seeing signs for construction. This 8 miles, 7 miles, 6 miles. Well, unbeknownst to me, on the eastbound side, the same thing's happening. They're seeing signs, 8, 7, 6, what have you. And at some point, we get in construction on both sides. I'm going west. This pickup truck that's going east apparently disregarded all those signs. And he realized that he was fixing to hit somebody in the rear. And he hits the grass in the median and flips that pickup truck. It was maroon. I can still see it in my mind's eye. And it landed right next to the rig that I was driving. And I'm looking at that going, oh, my God, what do we do? What do we do? And Kevin's like, keep it moving. Don't stop. Keep it moving.
That's what you do, Dad. I mean, keep it moving. Don't stop.
Don't look.
Not my problem.
And at this point, I'm like, you know, I just don't know that I can do this. This is too stressful. And then I'm sure it was somewhere on I-80. We pull into a truck stop and I go in and I'm trying to order something to go. And the waitress, she's nasty. She starts chastising me about where I'm standing. Apparently the to-go counter was elsewhere. and she's giving me a hard time. And at this point, you know, I go back out to the truck, apparently with my biscuit or whatever the hell it was I was ordering. And I just sit down and cry because it's like, I just don't know that I'm thick skinned enough for this lifestyle. This is just, anyway, it just, you have to grow a thick skin if you're going to stay in this business.
Yeah.
That's just all there is to it.
You really do.
And it's like,
nobody treats you well. Nobody.
Right.
Not the people in the truck stops, not the people at the vendors you pick up at.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody treats you with respect. Nobody.
You know, one thing that maybe it'd be really cool if we could accomplish with this show is kind of giving people the perspective of the driver.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sit behind that wheel of a truck and it's your job now to drive, you all of a sudden see the world in a different vantage point. Like the way she was describing her, that was her first month of driving.
Right.
And it's like, people are like, well, I haven't seen all like what kind of bad luck is that? But because you're out on the road so much now,
you see
stuff that you never would have seen before because you're just going from your house to the office, 20-minute drive or to the grocery store. And now your entire day is to drive these things and you just see the world differently. And I hope, like I we mentioned her a couple of times in the show, Mary, she emailed us saying that she's going to have the kids listening to the show for driver ed, all that stuff. I really hope that that's kind of a perspective we can kind of give to people who maybe don't drive for a living is that, you know, we see the world very differently on the roads than people who don't drive for a living. And so things that maybe that we seem to make a big deal about on the show that people are like, why is that a problem? If you do this for a living, and you're out there as much as we are, these little things become very big things to us because one, sometimes it's inconvenience, but also because we know where that can go.
Exactly.
Like, it's like it just things that you don't really think about when you're not doing this for a living, all of a sudden you're very acutely aware of, you know?
Yep.
And you know, I don't know what will happen in a catastrophic event with me behind the wheel.
Right.
I can't even imagine what way that's going to go. It's not someplace I let myself go to, but it can't be good. And when you see the stupid things that people do, and a lot of them have their children in the car.
Oh, my word. Yes.
And you just think how catastrophic this could be. And I don't know whether it's narcissism, I don't know whether it's cell phones. I don't know whether it's entitlement. I don't know where the audacity comes from with some of these folks that do the crazy things that they do. But I think the public, not the truckers, they've already known this for a long time, but I think the traveling public are starting to catch on that people are crazy.
Yep.
They're absolutely crazy. And it makes you wonder, when did this start? And I think it was with cell phones. Honestly, I think when the cell phones got big, and I'm not talking the old ones that cost you 50 cents a minute. I'm talking, you know, the newer ones, unlimited.
Yes. Yeah.
When that hit viral, somehow the public changed. And maybe it's all the changes that, you know, that we've gone through in the last 10 years or so. It just used to be easier in the trucking industry than it is now.
You're absolutely right.
Yep. 100%.
But anywho, let's see what else. We had somebody again on I-80. We had somebody wake us up in the morning and like bright and early, like 4 a.m. to tell us that somebody had put railroad spikes up against our tires.
Wow.
And sure enough, there were four. I didn't realize a railroad spike was silver, but those railroad spikes had been ground down to the silver.
Wow.
And they were leaning against four different tires. And I'm thinking it was probably a disgruntled ex-employee.
It sure sounds that way.
Yeah.
That did that. Yes. And, you know, and a lot of people, they just jump in their britches and haul ass down the road.
Yep.
They don't even get out and tires, much less look to see if there's a railroad spike up against it. You know, some, and we might have been one of them. I might have been too lazy to even get up that morning, and my boyfriend just blasts off, and there you go, we got four flats.
But yeah.
One of the other things that happened, now this was on I-20 somewhere in Texas. A truck, we're doing at least 75. Mm-hmm. We're headed east. And a trucker comes by and starts blowing his horn. And he holds up his CB and he tells my boyfriend who's driving, there's someone standing on your catwalk.
Wow. That is scary.
And sure enough, my boyfriend, you know, starts seeing someone peeking their head around the cab. So I don't know how far the next exit was, but he went off at the next exit. And as he was slowing down, that individual jumps off and runs. And we had been rolling for at least 100 miles and it was wintertime.
Wow.
That person must have been really cold. Holy cow.
I would think so. I would think so.
Now, where were you driving from?
When I was with my boyfriend, my first time around in the trucking industry, we were domiciled out of Michigan. So we'd run Michigan to California. We would haul furniture, like office furniture. And then we'd come out of California with a reefer, you know, vegetables. I don't know what else, but it was generally refrigerated. And then we would come back and, you know, deliver produce around the country or whatever. But that's what I did. The company's out of business now. They were called ETV. Mm. They were out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And they were one of those companies that, you know, got in trouble by pushing their drivers. And when the DOT or whoever comes in and looks at the records, they're like, oh, yeah, we need to shut you down. And they did. So, you know, one of the companies that you don't want to drive for.
Right.
Even the company I started out with, you know, when I actually started my trucking career 19 years ago, after I went through truck driving the second time, it was a great company for me to start out at. Truthfully, it was. It, you know, brought me in and out of Atlanta, and I got to be in my home on a weekly basis. Even they had an evil streak. If they thought you were getting ahead, oh yeah, let's cut your miles. If you bought a new car, don't tell anybody.
Really?
If you're buying a new house, don't tell anybody.
Wow.
Because if they thought you were getting ahead, they were one of those companies that wanted to keep you hungry.
Oh.
And
that makes sense.
They didn't care for me too much because I came from the corporate world. I'm not used to being screwed with. And if I do 100 miles, I expect to be paid for 100 miles. You know, none of this, you know.
Amen to that.
I'm a hub mile girl, you know. And the safety man, he didn't like me. He's like, yeah, Kim, she documents everything. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I had to run a couple of two or three log books a few times with them. And I can tell you that I drove 1,000 miles straight twice with them. And I'm not saying that they forced me to do that. They did not. But I did it nonetheless because it was one of those deals where you're coming to the farmer's market. And if you don't get it there tomorrow, you got to take it back the next day. And the next day, you're sort of looking forward to a day off.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're not getting home until tomorrow. Then you got to go back the next. No, we're not doing that. So I just drove straight 1,000 miles. And that was Lincoln, Nebraska to Forest Park, Georgia.
Wow.
And I did that twice. I don't recommend that.
Nope, not a good idea.
No. And fortunately now with the ELDs and that particular company themselves, they got into trouble. After I left them, they got into trouble and had to start running the black box or whatever they, with the DOT or whoever, the feds or whoever, they got in trouble themselves, but they didn't care for me very much. I always did a good job for them, but you know, I always had things to say and I got a cute story. I got to tell you this and I didn't write about this, but it was a cute story. It happened in Pennsylvania on I-81 I started out my day in Winchester, Virginia, as I did every week. And when I started, it was snowing. And as I went into Pennsylvania, it was just snowing to beat the band. And there was one tractor trailer accident after another. Mm. And I'm going north. And I believe I was trying to get to a town called Tunkhannock. And yep. It was up near Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, I believe, or north of there or something. Yeah. And I had been calling into my company, checking in, telling them, you know, I'm slowed down. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to get there by 3:00. And, you know, I'm leaving messages and what have you. And they routed us off the interstate. And the road that they routed us off on, I have no idea what it was. But I know it was two lanes going downhill and two lanes coming uphill. And my Jake brakes on. And I didn't know that. And all of a sudden, that trailer cut loose. And I'm looking at it, you know, in the mirror on my left side going, oh, my God, this trailer's lost traction. And I instinctively, I just aimed for the snow. You know, I got over in the snow so that the snow would grab the tires. And it did. It worked itself out, thank God. I finally got, I think it was to the Petro up in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton. And I called work. And now they're grilling me. They want to know minute by minute what I've been doing all day. In spite of the fact that I've called several times saying I'm not going to make it. I got off the phone with them and I called my mother and I'm just crying. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has just been one of those days. I never shut down. I kept it moving in spite of the fact I almost jackknifed. I just kept it moving. And as long as I could be by myself, I was okay. When people get around you and start acting ignorant, then you start getting sort of scared. But I made it to the Petro. I was within a few miles of Tunkhannock. My mother's like, what's that phone number? she called that company and she got the lady on the line, the number one lady. And that lady's like, now Martha knows if she has bad weather that she can stop. My mother says, the weather's not the problem. You are. Stop calling.
God love moms.
Yes. Rest her soul. She called that woman up and said, you're the problem. Stop calling her. But I mean, that's the kind of pressure they put on you.
It is.
In spite of the fact that I'm fighting this terrible weather, they've routed you off the interstate. There's one wreck after another. And you're putting that kind of pressure. Now you're wanting me to go minute by minute what I've been doing all day.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, my mom let her know. And that, you know, that woman never mentioned that to me.
Wow.
She never mentioned that to me.
Fear Mama Bear. And
yes. Let's see what else.
Tell me about the nasty line haul job you had. Those nasty, disgusting line haul drivers that had disgusting LTL line haul.
Tony's looking right at his old man and he's talking about line haul.
The nasty, disgusting line haul drivers. Tell me about those nasty drivers. And I mean nasty, disgusting.
I wanted to make more money. And I wanted to leave that vengeful company. And I'm here to tell you, the grass ain't always greener. I knew the first week I was with the trainer, and that's another public service announcement. Your trainer will make a pass at you, ladies. Beware. They will.
And men. You never know.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Doubles, line haul. Remember, I think I might have worked nights. I was never good at hooking up that second double. Every truck I got in was dirty. Half the stuff didn't work. trailers too. They never sat still long enough. You slip seated, number one. They never sat anywhere long enough to get anything fixed. So every time you got in a rig to pull off the yard, something had to be fixed. Everything I owned had grease on it, including my shoes. I was good at hooking up the first double, hooking the dolly to that one, not so much, pushing that up against the next trailer. No, I mean, I knew the first week that I was in trouble, in a lot of trouble, and mentally, this just isn't working for me. You know, work is work, but this was a whole other animal. And I believe I was in my late 40s when that happened. I might have been 50. And I was as close to mental illness as I've ever been. And I do think there's a lot of mental illness in the trucking industry. But I really wanted to die. I couldn't cope with. I would come home and I would swallow whatever was in the medicine cabinet. It didn't matter because I really was just so unhappy.
Wow.
And they would, and you had to stay in a hotel. Well, you know, they're not all, you're not staying in the Hampton. Okay.
Yeah, definitely not.
Call you on your 8 so that you were ready to roll on your 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter if you hadn't eaten all day. It didn't matter if you stopped and had dinner, if you took a shower, all of that got into your 8. If you know what I'm saying there.
Yeah.
So you're actually only operating on maybe 6 or 7 hours sleep.
Yep.
And I really resented that. This just wasn't the lifestyle for me. And I don't know if I made more money with that company. I didn't really care because I was so miserable being in an operation like that. So you really got to think that must be for younger men or something, younger women. I just wasn't cut out for it. I guess I'm lazy, perhaps. I don't know, but no, I know I had to get away from that.
And that's not a bad thing to have.
Dad doesn't have standards.
Actually,
he's probably good at it.
Actually, to be honest with you, Pitt is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to that kind of stuff, they want us, if there's a, you know, I share a truck with a city guy,
mm-hmm.
and it's just the two of us, you know? So yeah, we slip seat, but it's just he and I.
Yeah.
And I have all my stuff in the truck. I have my CB. I have all my, you know, like I have my overnight bag if I need it. We don't lay out anymore, but it's there. And, you know, so between he and I, if he has a problem with the truck, he takes it to shop when he gets back in the evening. So it gets, you know, maybe can get taken care of before I come in. I do the same thing in the morning. If I get back earlier, I'll let him know, hey, I was having this problem last night or whatever. You know, so Pitt's really different when it comes to that stuff.
You know, company.
They really are. And that I'm thankful for, because, you know, you hear these stories, some of these other companies that because we don't haul doubles. We don't do doubles or anything, like no doubles, no triples at Pitt. It's, you know, and I'm thankful.
See, I'd work
too.
Out well at Pitt.
You would.
But
you would.
The whole double thing?
Yeah,
no.
It's a pain in the butt. That's why I always kind of skirted away from that. I was like, nah, I've been, you know, been at Pitt now for 24 years. And I would, you know, doubles don't interest me at all.
From the outside looking in, the company that what she just described, I picture in my head is yellow. And that's
Saia Motor Freight. Saia.
Wow.
Really?
No kidding.
They just moved up into the Northeast, and they are picking our drivers away from every other company.
Yes, they did.
They're promising the world. You're telling me it's oh man.
Saia Motor Freight.
Because they like moving up here, it's all new terminals. Brand new trucks.
I'd say all new
equipment. The drivers, I mean, they are leaving for every company to go to Saia. They're paying well and all this stuff, and they're promising, you know, heaven on earth. And you're telling me it's Saia, because I'm thinking yellow, because like I've talked with yellow guys and stuff, and I've seen in their trucks, and their trucks look beat all the time.
Yeah, they are.
But like, Sayo. Oh, snap.
And
Ruben, you just left to go to Sayo. How do you like us now?
Well, you know, he might be going into a brand new truck.
He is. He is.
Might have brand new equipment. I don't know. I know they just moved into the Northeast.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, my experience back in 2005 in Forest Park or Ellenwood, Georgia, it was awful.
Wow.
It was absolutely awful.
I almost left
and
Pitt
for me,
Sia.
It just didn't work. Yeah. It did not work for me. I was not happy.
And just so you know, my truck is very clean.
I've driven it. I've driven his truck. It is very clean. The one day I went up to Allentown to help them out, and they put me in your truck, and I went inside. I was like, "You guys put me in 1869 on purpose?" And they're like, "No, why?" I said, "It's my old man's truck." And they're like, "Oh, really? You're Brian's son?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." And driving that truck, it shifts beautifully. Yep. It is a clean truck. I can tell you straight up, you keep a nice truck.
Yeah, we wipe it down. Truck. Both the city guy and myself, we wipe it down on the inside.
That's important.
The only thing
that's my office.
The only thing about your truck that was no good was your stupid gloves, man. I forgot my gloves, and your gloves had holes in them. I'm like,
new gloves.
I'm texting Lindsay. I'm like, we need to get the old man some gloves for Christmas or something, because he's winding his landing gear down with gloves with his fingers poking through. I'm like, it's time for new gloves, Dad.
I got new gloves. I got good leather ones.
There you go.
It's funny.
I'm the kind of guy. So Pitt has the leather gloves that have Pitt Ohio on it. And what I do is I get two pair and I stuff one pair in the other, so they're real thick. And that's the way I run it. And I never had that
issue. For some reason, we never get them in Allentown.
Really?
Every time I ask him, do we have gloves? You know, the gloves that have the name on them there. It's like, no, we don't have any.
Norristown has plenty.
It's like, what the heck?
Stop in the office. They'll give it to you for free. But
I just buy my own.
Yeah. So Kim, that's interesting. The line haul experience, and
that is crazy.
Yeah, I'm glad you said the name of the company. I hope Ruben's listening. Ruben, look what you got yourself into now. Ruby dooby doo.
I totally agree with you, Kim. The grass is not always green. It really isn't.
It's
which
not.
Is why that's why when you know, like when I started with Pitt, and I'm still here 24 years later, because you know. You think, and sometimes, the company, the things that they do or whatever, you know, the dispatchers or whatever, it gets under your skin. Just hang in.
Yeah.
Because like you said, Kim, the grass isn't always greener. It just isn't.
You know,
it's like this everywhere.
You know what I've noticed?
Industry, there's problems.
In the trucking business, you can be having the worst kind of day. And at the end of the night, when you sit back and you'll go, well, that wasn't all that bad. It all worked out. I mean, it's really sort of eye opening. The moment you're like, oh, that car cut me off and you're bitching. But at the end of the night, it's like everything that you wanted to get accomplished, you got accomplished. And you're like, oh, my God, everything worked out. Why was I so angry?
let me tell you, I can tell you this. I have had days where I have not made it home safe. And since then, every day that I make it home safe, nobody was injured.
Yes.
Nobody was hurt. I'm safe. I'm going home to my wife. It's a good day. I don't care what happened in the middle of the night. I don't care. That doesn't matter. Because I'll tell you what, when you hit somebody at 65 miles an hour because they turn left in front of you on the highway, that's a scary, scary thing to have happen.
Yeah.
And you realize how quickly that can go south. And it didn't. Thank God it didn't. And we both walked away.
And your brand new truck, too. Freaking A. Your
brand new truck. And
had
the guy,
to do it in a brand new truck.
And the guy was 520 feet away from the exit.
Unreal.
And he wanted to use the median to turn around. So he turned left in front of me from the right-hand lane. At 65 miles an hour, I hit him. And thankfully, like I said, nobody was hurt. And so, you know what? You do learn. If you make it home safe, it was a good night.
Dad got out of his truck. He walked up to the driver and he said, "You all right?" "Yeah, I'm all right." "That was my brand new truck, you son of a..."
No, I didn't say anything to the driver. I did not. I didn't talk to him at all.
No, that's best.
I just wanted to make sure he was okay. And he was fine. There was other people there.
Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah, I don't talk to... So, like, I had this lady cut me off and she... It was just a little fender bender, but... as soon as she pulls over, I pulled her behind her and she gets out of her car and I'm in my truck and she's just cussing at me and this, that, and the other. I'm thinking to myself, lady, it's your fault. Like, this is literally your fault and you're cussing at me. So I'm just going to stay in my truck. I called the police. And I didn't get out of my truck till they got there. And the cop, you know, he does his whole thing. And he told us to exchange information. He was about to roll out. I said, bro, can you stay here until we're done with this? And I said, she was really heated before, and I'd prefer a third party here until we're done with everything. And he said, okay. But he was hemming and haw about, like, I got other things to do. I'm like, listen, bro,
you got paid.
You got me to do right now. Like you got to take care of this, because I just didn't want issues. Yeah.
No, exactly. Because things can escalate.
So, yep. But yeah, Kim, it was awesome.
It was
chopping it up and hanging out with you. This was a great
blast. Yeah, this was a blast.
Well, thank you, fellas.
Oh man, well, thank you. Thank you for coming on. The things you had to say, the things you talked about, the experiences you've had. I tell you what, it was awesome. And it was awesome talking with you.
Kim, before we get out of here, how many more years do you got till you retire? You're shooting for retirement soon.
Maybe
two and a half.
Say.
I'll be 65 in 2.5 years.
That's fantastic. Awesome.
I will have been driving for like 23 years at that point.
That's great.
That is great.
So 2.5 more years. I wish you a blissful, smooth running two and a half years from here forward. Make it to the retirement, the glorious retirement, and put it all in your rearview mirror at that point.
Amen.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to stop the recording here. I think that's a good spot to end it.
Yep. That way, we'll just add it on.
Go ahead.
All right. So one of the jaunts that I made while I was out in California, I'm listening to truckers on the CB radio. And they're discussing a nudist resort, and it's near Lodi, California. And it just so happened that I would be laying over in Lodi. So I start asking questions. Well, I made the decision that I was going to a nudist resort. So I called the next morning. I called Enterprise Rent-A-Car. They came and got me. I rented a car and I drove to Wilton, California. I'd never been to a nudist resort before. But I was bound and determined I was going to do something different on my time off laid over in California. I pull up to the registration office, and I'm parked outside of the fence. And the first thing I see is a naked man walk by. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. So I go in and I register. I pay my day fee. I pull my car inside the fence, get out. Pop the trunk and start stripping off my clothes as if I had done this a million times. First time at a nudist resort, and I couldn't have been any more uncomfortable. And I made a friend that day. I hung out with some guy. We yacked the whole time. You know, nothing went on, but it was just nice to have somebody to talk to.
That's the truth.
And I left that day.
There you go. Dude,
you actually are in pretty good shape. You need to lighten up on yourself. There are no perfect bodies. And when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And let me just expand on that just a little bit, because apparently I told somebody that with the company I drove for, and they're like, well, you know, this guy that's a dispatcher, he goes to a nudist resort up in North Georgia.
Oh, I bet.
Let me look into that. So, yes, indeed.
That changes that relationship.
Oh, my. Dispatcher that's at a funny. Nudist resort in North Georgia. And I couldn't have been any more uncomfortable. Oh, my God. It was, but you know, I told my mom what I did, and it was like, I'm glad I did it. Right. I usually go about once a year, and I'm glad I did it, because I've realized that there are no perfect bodies, and that you don't stare at people. You know, you look around them. You look, you know, you're not. It's not like that. And there's young people there. There's black people there. There's old people, fat people, skinny people. All people are there, and they're just having a good time. And it's not about sex or anything like that. That stuff's not allowed.
There you go.
But it's just nice to awesome. Be able to say,
we did an episode did early on in the show
thanks to a couple of truck drivers
colony.
That were yakking on CB blues. Radio.
Yeah, that's what it was.
When you stop and listen, and
it's what the show's about. We have fun. We chop it up. We have fun. We laugh at things. And we just say whatever we want to say. We got an email from a lady, and she said, like, she was offended by our commentary about the nudist colony. And her and her husband, I think, lived at a nudist colony for like 5 years or something like that. And she was offended. And I'm just like, it's a nudist colony. Like,
and it's a truck driver making deliveries. Like, what a shock that is when you first roll through.
Like, how can you, like, this isn't mainstream. Like, Kim, this isn't mainstream. I'm just letting you know, not most people don't go to nudist colonies. And so, like, which, it's different. And so, like, if we have a yuck fest about it, to be offended by it, like, it's like, you understand it's not every day you run into somebody that goes to nudist colonies, you know?
Think about how easy it is to find a spot to put your towel on the beach at the nudist colony, because not many people go.
Right. There you go.
So I'm just looking for a good place to sun.
I believe.
Exactly.
Oh, sure.
I guess you just don't hear about it. Nobody really talks about it.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
But you know what? There's a lot of people that go
probably
to
good for networking
resorts. I'm talking doctors, dentists, lawyers.
Yeah, I bet you could get some business cards and really network really well there. Could line up a next career.
Know, and you won't I hear about know. It. They don't talk about it, but they go there. Because the group that I hung out with in North Georgia, they were doctors. So.
Just like a pup.
But I tell you, the last time I went there, which was a year ago, I watched a FedEx truck. I mean, we're talking maybe a 28 foot or so. It's not the big, it's not a 45 or a 53, but it was a trailer nonetheless. He backed up in that place and I'm looking like, oh my, what are you going to do with that? You know, what? Because I'm like, what are you delivering and where? Cool.
All right, I'm gonna end the recording there.
A tractor trailer up in there, but yeah, you know, I did the nudist resort thing, and I came home and told my mom about it, and she, you know, she's like, "Oh, geez," you know, but it is what it is, you know.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. Dad, you know the drill. What do they do if they enjoyed the show? Only if they enjoyed it.
If they enjoyed the show, share it. Share the show. Share it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, whatever it is that you're on, whatever social media you're on. And even if you're not on social media, share it with your friends. Send it to you, your wife or your husband. Send it, you know, share them the little share button there on the show. Share it. Just share the stinking thing, will you?
Just share it. Share it.
I'm technically illiterate, so.
Just a little.
When I say share the show, I'm like talking to everybody else who knows how to do that stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, you're doing your part. You're sharing a lot at work.
I am. Yeah. I am sharing. And I also share it on Facebook.
Yeah. We're working on possibly two drivers that my dad drives with coming down in studio, hanging out and chit-chatting a little bit, working out the details. Hopefully we can get that done. I'd be excited to do that. So listen, friends, until next week, keep the hammer down.
In the hammer lane.
Later.
So one of the jaunts that I made while I was out in California, I'm listening to truckers on the CB radio, and they're discussing a nudist resort, and it's near Lodi, California. And it just so happened that I would be laying over in Lodi. So I start asking questions. Well, I made the decision that I was going to a nudist resort. So I called the next morning. I called Enterprise Rent-A-Car. They came and got me. I rented a car and I drove to Wilton, California. I'd never been to a nudist resort before, but I was bound and determined I was going to do something different on my time off laid over in California. I pull up to the registration office and I'm parked outside of the fence. And the first thing I see is a naked man walk by. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. So I go in and I register, I pay my day fee, I pull my car inside the fence, get out, pop the trunk, and start stripping off my clothes. As if I had done this a million times. First time at a nudist resort. And I couldn't have been any more uncomfortable. And I made a friend that day. I hung out with some guy. We yacked the whole time. You know, nothing went on, but it was just nice to have somebody to talk to. And I left that day. Attitude, you actually are in pretty good shape. You need to lighten up on yourself. There are no perfect bodies.
That's the truth.
And when in Rome, do as the Romans do.
There you go. And
let me just expand on that just a little bit, because apparently I told somebody that with the company I drove for, and they're like, well, you know, this guy that's a dispatcher, he goes to a nudist resort up in North Georgia. Oh, well, let me look into that. So yes, indeed. I run into a dispatcher at a nudist resort in North Georgia, and I couldn't have been any more uncomfortable.
Oh, I bet. That changes that relationship a whole lot.
It was.
That's
but,
funny.
You know, I told my mom what I did, and it was like, I'm glad I did it. I usually go about once a year, and I'm glad I did it, because I've realized that there are no perfect bodies, and that you don't stare at people. You know, you look around them, you right. look, you know, you're not, it's not like that. And there's young people there, old people, fat people, skinny people, all people are there, and they're just having a good time. And it's not about sex or anything like that. That stuff's not allowed. But it's just nice to be able to say, yeah, I did something different. And thanks to a couple of truck drivers that were yakking on the CB radio, when you stop and listen, you know, you learn things. And I learned that I'm in pretty good shape.
That's awesome.
We did an episode early on in this show called The Nudist Colony.
Yep. Nudist Colony and, Blues.
Yeah, that's what it was. And it's what the show's about. We have fun, we chop it up, we have fun, we laugh at things, and we just say whatever we want to say. We got an email from a lady, and she said, like, she was offended by our commentary about the nudist colony. And her husband, I think, lived at a nudist colony for like 5 years or something like that, and she was offended. And I'm just like, it's a nudist colony. Like,
and it's a truck driver making deliveries. Like, it's like, what a shock that is when you first roll through.
Like, how can you, like, this isn't mainstream. Like, Kim, this isn't mainstream. I'm just letting you know, not most people don't go to nudist colonies. And so, like, which, it's different. And so, like, if we have a yuck fest about it, to be offended by it, like, it's like, you understand it's not every day you run into somebody that goes to nudist colonies, you know?
Think about how easy it is to find a spot to put your towel on the beach at a nudist colony, because not many people go.
Right, there you go.
So I'm just looking for a good place to sun.
There's a lot of people that go to nudist resorts. I'm talking doctors, dentists, lawyers.
I guess you just don't hear about it. Nobody really talks about it.
You know, and you won't hear about it.
Yeah.
They don't talk about it.
Sure.
But they go there, because the group that I hung out with in North Georgia, they were doctors.
Yeah, I bet you could get some business cards and really network really well there. Could line up a next career.
I tell you, the last time I went there, which was a year ago, I watched a FedEx truck. I mean, we're talking maybe a 28-foot or so. It's not the big, it's not a 45 or a 53,
just like a pup.
But it was a trailer nonetheless.
Uh-huh.
He backed up in that place, and I'm looking like, oh my, you know, what are you going to do with that? You know, what? Because I'm like, what are you delivering and where? But yeah, I was shocked to see a tractor trailer up in there. But yeah, you know, I did the nudist resort thing, and I came home and told my mom about it. And she, you know, she was like, oh, geez, you know, but it is what it is, you know.